Pavle, did you...
Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you today. We'll hear an Ulster County woman ask Representative Antonio Delgado why the federal government isn't doing more to help seniors at this point in the pandemic. We're going to hear Pete Sikora of New York Communities for Change discuss Governor Kathy Hochul's budget proposals on climate issues. And we're going to tune in a new song from Earl Sweatshirt about a rainy night in the Catskills. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Airwaves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting that U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado touted his congressional record during Teletown Hall on January 18th. In the 3 years that Delgado has been in office, he has had 18 of his bills passed and signed into law. The Rhinebeck Democrat told everyone on the telephone town hall that each of those measures was for the benefit of his constituents in New York's 19th congressional district. Of the 18 Delgado bills signed into law, 10 were under President Trump and 8 during the first year of the Biden administration, Delgado said. Quote, from addressing the needs of our farmers to supporting our veterans to empowering our small businesses to protecting against toxins like PFOS, the focus is always on delivering for communities, unquote, he said. Delgado was joined on the call by Ulster County Health Commissioner Dr. Carol Smith to address the latest concerns about the pandemic. Other topics addressed during the one-hour session included supporting the workforce and protecting voting rights. Delgado is being challenged by the current Dutchess County Executive, Republican Mark Molinaro. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Jonah E. Bromwich, Ben Protas, and William K. Rashbaum
are reporting in the New York Times that in filings January 18th, in response to Donald Trump's efforts to avoid questioning, New York Attorney General Letitia James said that the former president repeatedly misrepresented the value of his assets and said his company had engaged in, and I quote, fraudulent or misleading, end quote, practices. James is not finishing her investigation of the Trump Organization's financial practices in New York, but was tipping her hand to the judge to prove the necessity of questioning Trump and his children. In the filing, James argues that the Trump Organization misstated the value of properties to lenders, insurers, and the Internal Revenue Service, and that many of its filings were, and I quote, generally inflated as part of a pattern to suggest that Mr. Trump's net worth was higher than it otherwise would have appeared, end quote. In the statement, James was blunt. She said, and I quote, we have uncovered significant evidence that suggests Donald J. Trump and the Trump Organization falsely and fraudulently valued multiple assets and misrepresented those values to financial institutions for economic benefit, end quote. A spokesperson for the Trump Organization spun things differently. The spokesperson said on January 19th, and I quote, 3 years later, she is now faced with the stark reality that she has no case, end quote. You can read more about this story in the New York Times.
Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that in 2021, calls to the Greenville Rescue Squad increased 22% over the previous year. The statistics were revealed by the Rescue Squad Chief of Operations Matthew Marlowe during his report to the Greenville Town Board on January 17th. The squad responded to 552 calls in 2021, 120 calls more than in 2020, when the agency took 432 calls for assistance. The increase in calls and other challenges are being attributed to hospital capacity and staffing, rising mutual aid requests, and a surge in 911 calls after an early pandemic lull. Quote, we are backfilling Coxsackie Mutual Aid because Coxsackie is backfilling Catskill, who is working in Cairo and everywhere else, unquote, Marlowe told the board. Quote, the biggest contributing factor is hospitals. They have cut staff and have started to surge in their own right, unquote. Ambulance crews have been forced to wait at hospitals as staff tries to keep up with demand or travel to other hospitals further away, Marlowe said. Quote, our mutual aid has gone up simply because there are no ambulances to answer calls, unquote. The trajectory of the COVID pandemic and how it has impacted healthcare is another factor the squad has had to contend with over the past year, Marlowe said. People refrained from ambulance trips to the hospital in the early days of the pandemic, but that changed a few months later and the number of calls began to creep upwards. He said now the squad is seeing all the pre-pandemic volume plus COVID-related calls on top of that. The increase in call volume has occurred locally and from other municipalities as well, Marlowe said. Read more about this story in theupstater.com.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that a few days after three racists held a White Lives Matter in front of Chatham's Village Gazebo, more than 80 counter-protesters returned to the same spot to have their say. Village Mayor John Howe said, and I quote, this is the real Chatham when it comes to hate, not in my village. And this is something we need to do every day, not just today. We're going to stand united, and they will not divide us, end quote. On January 14th, several photos were shared on social media of three individuals holding a banner with the name and website address of the racist group. At noon on January 19th, the gazebo was instead filled with dozens of people carrying signs against racism and singing, We Shall Overcome. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Zach Williams is reporting for City and State on the attorneys, public relations, and other professionals that are making money off former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo resigned in August, and amid a plethora of scandals, he was sitting on a campaign war chest of $18 million. His latest campaign finance disclosure shows how he has spent a good bit of that money on matters other than campaigning for elected office. Nearly $2 million in payments highlight how Cuomo has expended the funds contributed by his political supporters to attack his perceived political enemies. At least $800,000 in campaign funds went to Sullivan and Cromel, a Manhattan law firm that represented Cuomo in a state assembly impeachment investigation. The law firm of Rita Glavin, representing Cuomo in the matters related to allegations of sexual misconduct by the former governor, has received about $900,000 from his campaign account. A firm recently founded by former gubernatorial spokesperson Rich Azzopardi has received at least $42,500 in payments from Cuomo, according to the campaign filing. Quote, all rules and regulations were followed, period, unquote, Azzopardi said. The disclosure included expenditures for services tendered while Cuomo was still governor, such as a $25,000 payment to his long-term pollster. Read more about this story at cityandstate.com.
Andrea Mako reports at Porcupine Soup that Coyman's town supervisor George McHugh was not the only local official writing to a judge urging leniency for a local man who pleaded guilty to his part of the riot in the U.S. Capitol insurrection on January 6, 2021. Westerlo Republican Chair Lisa DeGroff and Westerlo Town Councilperson Amy Burnside also wrote letters to the judge on behalf of William Tryon, 71, of Selkirk. DeGroff stated of Tryon, and I quote, there could not be a more upstanding citizen, end quote. Tryon, who prosecutors say participated in, and I quote, a violent attack that forced an interruption of the certification of the 2020 Electoral College vote count, threatened a peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 presidential election, injured more than 100 law enforcement officers, and resulted in more than $1 million of property damage, end quote. Burnside implied that the riot was justified in her letter to the court. Burnside stated, and I quote, Bill is simply just as frustrated as the rest of the country, end quote. Lewis County Sheriff Michael Carpinelli, who is a Republican running for governor, also wrote to the court for Tryon on official sheriff's office letterhead. On January 14th, Senior United States District Judge of the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, Reggie B. Walton, sentenced Tryon to 50 days behind bars and ordered him to serve 12 months of post-release supervision and pay $500 in restitution, a $25 special assessment, and a $1,000 fine. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a temperature falling to around 20 degrees by 5 p.m. For Thursday night, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 0 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 14 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around minus 1 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, January 20th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7, including at 10 a.m., Cheryl Kay speaks with Keith Prosk and Lee Rice Epstein, members of the Free Press Jazz Collective. They write for the Free Jazz blog. She'll also interview Italian pianist, composer, and bandleader Roberto Magris on the Situation Fluxus at 10 a.m. on the radio at WGXC. At 11 a.m., tune in music of Shandarivna S. Balanchar on Transformational Listening at 11 a.m. at noon, Alan Skerritt beams in live from Columbia County on the Crossroads in Rhythm Show. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news with stories of Omicron taking over and Republicans who were trying to take over the government in an insurrectionist coup failing so far. At 3:30 p.m., Stefano De Ponte is the artist featured on the Radia show this week. And then tune in live at 9 p.m. from Andrew O'Connor in Toronto with his pirate radio show Disco 3000. And then Ted Barron is live in the WGXC Hudson studio with the Boogie Woogie Flu at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info at wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, January 20th. Early this morning, we see 20 degrees in Mackey and 31 degrees in Nevis. And that's it. Those are your highs for the day. Don't ask for more. A little snow is going to fall this morning and it will leave a dusting in some spots. Temperatures will decline slowly as the day progresses. The regional average will be 18 degrees by sunset. Gusty winds could blow some snow around and drop small branches today. Conditions will be sub-freezing. Frost nip could be an issue. Bundle up and protect that skin. Also, grab those sunglasses while you're at it because the skies are going to clear up this afternoon. Overnight, let those taps drip because the mercury keeps sliding till it hits about 2 degrees. Tomorrow will also be sub-freezing, just on the upper edge of when frostbite becomes an issue. A high of only 15 degrees is expected at 1 p.m. Friday night will be even colder. Negative 3 degrees is expected. Saturday will be dry with a high of 20 degrees. 13 degrees overnight takes us into an also dry Sunday with a high of 30 degrees. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:28 a.m., low tide at 10:41 a.m., high tide again at 4:19 p.m., and low tide again at 11:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 32 degrees. And that's it. I think I'm done giving you guys river readings for a bit because, well, frankly, the only things you can do on the river or creeks right now are too dangerous for me to recommend to anyone. Moving water is dangerous and can cause very uneven thicknesses of ice. Don't worry, I'll bring the data back as things start to wake up for spring. Sunset today will be at 4:39 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see on Saturday a coronal mass ejection is due to give Earth a glancing blow. Geomagnetic unrest is expected. Solar wind speed is currently 480 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 57, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane.
Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
Next, we hear Representative Antonio Delgado take a question about how seniors have been treated during the pandemic from an Ulster County woman at his Teletown Hall on January 18th, 2022.
Mary from Ulster.
Hi. How come the seniors didn't get any kind of stimulus like the people from unemployment and child tax credits? The seniors got an increase of 5.9, while there's inflation is 6.2, and so we're still behind. I'm fortunate that I'm still working, but every time I go to the grocery store, the prices are up. So the seniors are still behind.
Yes, Mary, thank you so much for your question, and certainly appreciate your concerns regarding rising prices. It's a real challenge for the country right now, and certainly an issue that we have to get our arms wrapped around. I want to take your question in two ways. I do want to say on the question of receiving economic impact payments, seniors did receive these payments, and you know, if for some reason you did not receive one, then I would encourage you to reach out to our office, and we can figure out why that might have been the case. But it is my understanding that seniors did receive economic impact payments. That being said, and I think your point is well taken, more needs to be done, particularly when you factor in the rising costs of goods and services. We are being hit pretty hard in that regard, whether it's, you know, like I said in my remarks, at the gas pump, or whether it's at the grocery store, or whether it's prescription drugs, you name it. We're seeing a real hit in the pockets of a lot of folks. And that's why I've taken a number of steps. And that's why I talked about my 4x4 plan in terms of how we can do more to address these issues, and focusing on a host of areas, whether it's making sure that I called on the president to approve fuel sales from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which the president ultimately did do, which I think was an effect on the prices at the pump. We are starting to see some signs that crude oil and gas prices are stabilizing. You know, also just thinking about what we can do through the infrastructure bill that we signed into law. One of the challenges that we're facing is how we bring goods to the market faster. Well, one way that can help is if we have robust broadband, if we have roads that are not in disrepair, if we have ports that are able to take goods off carriers in a timely and efficient fashion, if we have a system that would make it so that when our foreign trading partners unload their carriers, they are required to some degree to take back our exports, as is not the case currently. So there are things that we can do specifically that I have done by way of supporting legislation to meet these needs. And I think also just figuring out how we can invest in American manufacturing. I think we've got to do more to create more investment in American-made goods, which means that we have to use American-made materials when we are investing in our infrastructure. And to that end, I've introduced legislation to make sure that we achieve that by making sure that when federal agencies seek waivers to not use buy or to avoid buy American laws on our books, they have to disclose that publicly on a website so we understand exactly why and what the rationale for that is. Lastly, I'll just note this because I think, you know, as a senior, I think might have some concern in this regard. I've put together a letter to make sure that we do all we can to lower Medicare premiums. Medicare announced in November that Medicare Part B premium rates for 2022 would going to increase by $21. This 14.5% increase is the largest Part B premium increase in the history of Medicare, and this is simply unacceptable. Unacceptable for seniors, particularly living on a fixed income. In December, I sent a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services urging them to take action to lower Medicare Part B premiums for seniors. And I'm glad to say that after our letter, Medicare is taking another look at these premium increases. And we will continue to stay on top of this issue moving forward. So thank you very much for the call, Mary. And certainly we'll keep doing all we can to bring down costs.
That was Representative Antonio Delgado on January 18th taking a question about how seniors have been treated during the pandemic from an Ulster County resident during his teletown hall. from 2022. That's number 5 from Koji Nakamura, Foodman, and Takahashi Numazawa.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Strong spirit with a body, couldn't get asylum. The cost of living high, don't cross the picket line to get the virus. Wildcat has got him in a bind, stay inside. No, I came from out the thickest smiling. Mad Hatter's capping every line, it doesn't matter to the 10 of 5. They start hacking when they can't shrink us. I found a middle and a bit of balance. Fever in the cabin, I knew where we was headed. I ain't count no blessings, I sure as a measure. Link up with some feasible methods to free yourself. Split it with my hand like cigarettes. Slick oil in a fish gill. I fill a void with the pen, fill the fear. Shrill, couple stains that I couldn't shield. My brother brain that we couldn't shield. Couple came, couple went still. And what remained of the wolf's meal? I held a page, gave the book ears. Whisper thanks, hella pain. Heavy rain in the cat skills. Played the shade, quite a deal. Glad we stayed friends.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Pete Sikora, who is the Climate Campaign Director for the New York Communities for Change, based down, I guess a couple places, but New York City. And on earlier this week, Tuesday, Governor Hochul came out with her proposed budget for 2022-23, follows up a bit on the State of the State a few weeks ago. So Pete, what was your overall response to Governor Hochul's climate proposals on the budget?
You know, it's sad that another governor is again missing the moment to fight climate change and create good jobs at the scale of the crisis, you know, we face. And thanks for having me on, Mark, again. But the problem here is that there's this huge disjunction between what the political system wants to tolerate, which is slight incremental change, and what's needed to fight the climate crisis, which is massive cuts in air pollution right now, year after year after year. It's like the movie on Netflix. It's Don't Look Up time, where we really need to make very rapid change. And so the governor's budget, you know, does not do that. It fails to allocate the kind of funding needed to overhaul housing infrastructure, mass transit, create more electric cars. All of those things need to happen immediately. So overall, it's another miss for New Yorkers.
And what type of funding, you know, should we be looking at the governor and the, you know, the state legislature investing in climate at this point?
No, if you wanted to actually create hundreds of thousands of good union jobs to slash pollution across the state, that could be done for about $10 to $20 billion in additional spending per year, and that would create a Green New Deal for New York. And $10 to $20 billion per year, of course, is a lot of money. The overall state budget is about $200 billion, so it's a significant amount of money. But it's only a small percentage of what very rich people in this state make. If you taxed the top 1% by income, just 5% more on their marginal tax rate, that would raise about $10 billion per year. And so if the state government was serious, they would mobilize the resources needed to slash pollution and create those jobs. And that's about $10 to $20 billion of additional spending.
What are the public opinion polls? I mean, I know the state lawmakers, including the Democrats, you know, really, no more taxes on the rich. But how does the public poll on this issue?
The public is hugely supportive of taxing the rich. The media creates a mythology that there is opposition to it. But in fact, taxing the rich is incredibly popular. That's also true of a Green New Deal. And if you put the two together, it becomes even more popular. So taxing the rich for a Green New Deal to create good union jobs to slash air pollution, that's incredibly popular. But more importantly, it's the right thing to do. That's what they should be doing in order to get the money needed in the most fair way and then move it to communities that really need it. So it's very, very popular. And that's what they ought to do, not because it's popular, but because it's right.
Now, one of the issues that New York Community Change played a real lead role in New York City in a recent victory was getting the city of New York to agree to stop, putting new gas into buildings, particularly new buildings. And actually, Governor Hochul, did address that issue as well in a recent State of the State. What's good, what's bad about her proposal?
You know, that I'm glad you asked, because that is the real bright spot of her budget proposal. If you are in a hole, the first rule is, stop digging. And we are in a very deep hole, and that means we should stop digging. And in this context, that means don't add new fossil fuel infrastructure that is going to have to be shut down relatively soon. That makes no sense. And so the governor has seen what we were able to win in New York City, and is proposing to expand a gas ban on new construction statewide. And what that would do in practice is buildings would be built using heat pumps and energy efficiency instead of gas boilers and furnaces. And that's practical and affordable right now. So the governor is proposing to do that by 2027. And we think that should be done next year on new building permits coming into the process. So what we hope is that the legislature will adopt legislation proposed by Senator Kavanaugh and Assemblymember Gallagher, put that into the budget and agree with the governor and come to that deal in the budget by April 1st. New York would then become the first state in the country to implement a gas ban on new construction. And that would be one of the big things that New York needs to do to fight the climate crisis and also create good jobs.
Now, you mentioned the New York State Legislature, because they have a role. They get to approve the budget, allegedly by April 1st. In discussions with the governor. I mean, for the last three decades, the state, lawmakers didn't really do anything on climate, probably because it was, Senate controlled by the Republicans. They did pass a new climate law, 2.5 years ago, the CLCPA, but didn't really do much the last 2 years after the CLCPA. What are some of the, issues you're going to try to push, I guess, primarily in the budget, but are there other things you want to address as well? Feel free to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, writ large, what has to happen is the state needs to set requirements to cut pollution at the speed necessary, which is faster than its own climate law. And then at the same time, it should pay for those kinds of upgrades that can't be easily afforded by the people that those requirements are set on. So that means both raising and spending $10 to $20 billion more per year and setting requirements to go off of fossil fuels in everything from buildings and transportation to industry and agriculture over the next 10 to 20 years. And that's a tall order, but that's what needs to be done for the world to avoid climate catastrophe, which we're already starting to feel. So those are the kinds of policies that are needed. And there's, dozens of things within that subset that need to happen. One of those big things is the gas ban that the governor is proposing. So we're happy to see that. But there's like 95%, 98% of the stuff is not getting done right now and needs to be proposed and implemented like right now. The state's climate law, in theory, should be causing that to happen. But in practice, the government is dragging its feet on making the decisions necessary to actually implement the goals of the climate law that they passed in 2019. And those goals are themselves a little bit too modest anyway.
Now, when you mentioned the goals of the climate law, obviously, let's speed up transition to 100% renewable / emissions. But also, I would say many people would say one of the biggest wins was setting a goal that 35 to 40% of climate funding should be dedicated to benefiting those communities that have borne the brunt of climate change, the disadvantaged communities of color. How is that going since that law has been passed? Or what needs to go better?
I'm really glad you asked, because 35% of zero is zero. it doesn't matter that there's a goal if the money isn't being mobilized. That goal should be strengthened into a requirement because low-income communities and communities of color, places that have had the most pollution over time, have been the most hurt over time by social and racial inequalities. And so it makes sense that those are the communities that need the most help. So that's why a Green New Deal type process would rectify those kinds of societal wrongs, or at least help make it a more fair society. So the state in theory is committed to that, but in practice, the money is not moving. And so therefore, it's not happening. So many governors, including this governor now, unfortunately, have talked so big about climate action. You know, it's an existential threat. It's a critical priority. It's something that we must do. The rhetoric knows no bounds on this issue. But then the reality is so far removed from what needs to make that transition real. So that's what's happening under the climate law, both to cut pollution and to actually lift up communities and create good union jobs.
We've been talking with Pete Secora, Climate Campaign Director, New York Communities for Change. Pete, if people want to find out more about New York Communities for Change, follow you on climate, how best to do that?
You know, we're on Twitter. We're on those kinds of things. And there's a website, nycommunities.org, on Twitter, at nychange.
Thank you much, Pete Secora. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
That was Closer from Bonobo's 2022 album Fragments on the radio at WGXC.
Catano Veloso with The Empty Boat on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Is empty, yes, my heart is empty from the who to the how. From the rather to the sail, oh, my boat is empty. Yes, my hand is empty from the waist to the knee. From the ocean to the bay, oh, the sand is clean. Oh, my mind is clean from the night to the day. Stand to the bar. Oh, my boat is empty. Oh, my head is empty from the nape to the brow. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is wrong. From the past to the dead. From the east to the west. Oh, the stream is long. Yes, my dream is long. From the past to the dead. From the east to the west. Yes, my dream is wrong, from the birth to the dead. From the east to the west, oh, the stream is long. Oh, my dream is wrong, from the birth to the dead. From the east to the west. Yes, my dream is long, from the birth to the dead. From the east to the west, oh, the stream is long. Oh, my dream is wrong, from the birth to the dead.
Do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
What is your radio show?
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in.